Good afternoon to you all. Welcome to the Chamber of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, the ECOSOC. His Eminence Cardinal Oscar Andres Rodriguez, Archbishop of Tegucigalpa, His Eminence Archbishop Francis Assisi Chulicat, Permanent Observer of the Holy See to the United Nations, His Excellency Ambassador Mari Flores, Permanent Representative of Honduras to the United Nations, Reverend Juan Quirarte, Director of Asociación Desarrollo Juvenil del Norte en Ciudad Juárez. I'm really pleased to welcome all you to this special event on youth and migration, following on the second high-level dialogue on international migration and development, which was held early this month. I convey to you the warmest greetings on behalf of the Bureau of ECOSOC. On behalf of the Council, I wish to thank His Eminence Cardinal Oscar Andres Rodriguez, Archbishop of Tegucigalpa, and Chair of the Commission appointed by His Holiness Pope Francis to work on the Roman Curia reform for his presence here today. It's a real honor and a pleasure. Last April, I had the honor to have an audience with His Holiness Pope Francis to discuss the need to advance social justice and accelerate our efforts in order to achieve the Millennium Development Goals by 2015. I expressed the hope that the Vatican could see ECOSOC as a useful platform to pursue its efforts towards a fair international order, noting that many of the United Nations humanitarian targets echo calls made by the Holy See to build a more human world for all. And I'm very pleased that offer of ECOSOC being a platform for our common interests and the humanitarian causes that we are working for is now translated in an event like the one we are having today. As the main body of the United Nations, dealing with economic, social, and environmental issues, the private sector and the civil society play an important role in the activities of ECOSOC. Today, we will hear from a special NGO with observer status before ECOSOC, the Salesians of Don Bosco, and their worldwide work and tireless efforts on behalf of the youth. Their particular emphasis is on empowering young people to meet the challenges they face as they grow towards maturity. For over 150 years, they have been educating young people and assisting them to be agents of change, often in very difficult circumstances. With a preferential option for those living in poverty, they seek out young people in need throughout the world. The Salesians of Don Bosco have committed themselves to work with those on the margins of society. While their work with street children, ex-combatants, as well as on technical education for those in need of alternate educational experiences and preparing young people for the world of work is well known. Today, we will focus on their work on behalf of young migrants, exposed generally to situations that might aggravate their vulnerability. During the second high-level dialogue on international migration and development, we voice the need to put in place an action-oriented agenda aimed at creating a safer and more transparent system of international mobility that protects the human rights of all migrants, enhances the positive contribution of migrants and migration to development, fosters cohesive multicultural environments, and presents migrants as vital members of our societies. International migration should be seen as an essential driver for global development, given its important contribution for the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals and its impact as a key factor for sustainable development. However, there is a clear need to better articulate and enhance the linkages between migration and development by promoting a human rights-based approach in order to reach the full potential of migration for development. Our reinforced ECOSOC will continue to work closely with the private sector and the civil society, bringing dialogue and on development to a wider range of stakeholders. We need to join efforts, enhance our cooperation with all stakeholders in order to be able to deal with the different and emerging challenges of sustainable development in an effective manner. We know that we will continue to count on the Salesians of Don Bosco for this endeavor. Thank you very much. Now I will conduct the program of today, and I would like to invite Reverend Thomas Brennan to welcome for the Salesian community. Father Brennan is the NGO representative for the Salesians of Don Bosco at the United Nations, and the Salesians are in a special consultative relationship with ECOSOC. Reverend Brennan,
you have the floor. Thank you, Ambassador. Welcome to everyone. The Salesian family throughout the world is preparing for the 200th anniversary of the birth of our founder, St. John Bosco. And our work on behalf of the young, especially those living in poverty, the marginalized, and the disenfranchised, is diverse and widespread. In each work, we partner with young people to help bring the world, to build the world that they want, one in which their full potential will be realized and the common good will be attended to. Today, we focus on one of the important areas of our ministry, youth and migration. We will hear some examples of this work in later presentations, but our commitment to migrants is not limited to these examples. We have made a worldwide commitment to expanding our services on behalf of people on the move, especially the young migrant and refugee. In fact, the entire Salesian family has pledged itself to special efforts in the area of migration for the year 2014, with a program titled We Are the Others. Our accompaniment of victims of trafficking, refugees, gypsies, Roma, victims of natural disasters and conflicts, and others who must leave their homes is firm, even as the challenges have increased. And with the increasing numbers of young people becoming migrants in search of work opportunities to help support their families, we've increased our efforts to ensure social integration, the protection of human rights, and the provision of essential social services. We're responding to these needs, collaborating with governments, faith-based organizations, and civil society. On behalf of the Salesian family, I welcome you to this event and hope that it will serve as a stimulus for even further discussion on youth and migration. Thank you.
I would like now to give the floor to Reverend Juan Carlos Quirarte for a presentation on young migrants at the border. Juan Carlos Quirarte, SDB, PhD in the Salesian, is the Salesian Director of Asociación Desarrollo Juvenil del Norte en Ciudad Juárez, Mexico. Juan Carlos Quirarte holds a PhD in social anthropology, and his social research and work was conducted in many countries throughout Latin America. He's going to speak in Spanish.
Yes.
And there will be an English translation in your phone. So,
thank you, Madam.
Agradezco ser portavoz de tantos jóvenes y también del trabajo que estamos realizando los salesianos en estas zonas fronterizas. Las generaciones jóvenes en la actualidad nacieron en un contexto fronterizo amurallado. Es la realidad que conocen porque es lo que les toca ver y percibir. Para la juventud que transita por las ciudades fronterizas o bien que escucha sobre ellas, tiene en sí un imaginario social fruto de las realidades contemporáneas más recientes, a saber, una conformación de políticas migratorias endurecidas, provocadas por un esfuerzo de los estadounidenses y sus representantes electos para recuperar una sensación de seguridad, sobre todo tras los eventos lamentables del 11 de septiembre. Una situación de estigmatización de la frontera México-Estados Unidos como una oportunidad para los mexicanos y un peligro para los estadounidenses. Una zona de tránsito ilegal, sea de drogas, sea de armas, sea de personas y de dinero. Y también, como puede percibirse en el imaginario social, un espacio propicio para la irradiación de las llamadas leyendas negras. Para los que son considerados jóvenes en nuestro tiempo, es decir, aquellos nacidos entre la segunda mitad de los años 80 y los espacios fronterizos entre México y Estados Unidos son vividos y percibidos como arenas de tensión internacional, exacerbada en gran medida por tendencias sociales y políticas en ambas naciones. Si bien las relaciones fronterizas no siempre han sido tan conflictivas, ni las tensiones actuales continuarán indefinidamente sobre en ese futuro, para las juventudes de hoy, la demarcación México-Estados Unidos y su emblemático muro es un asunto incómodo. Resulta importante subrayar desde ahora que no siempre fue así. Por más de un siglo y medio desde que el Tratado de Guadalupe Hidalgo y la adquisición de Gadsden establecieron la frontera internacional actual, las dos naciones han disfrutado de relaciones pacíficas, de una frontera porosa y un comercio cooperativo. Incluso hasta hace muy poco, la única señal visible de la frontera en gran parte de su extensión de casi 3.200 kilómetros era una cerca de alambre de púas. Estamos, pues, en una fase de cierta aberración en la relación entre ambos países, pero conviene tener presente que no siempre ha sido como lo es hoy en día. Existen lugares que, por razones muy diversas, llegan a concentrar grandes canales de flujo humano. Un lugar muy acentuado en el presente es la grande frontera entre México y Estados Unidos. Durante las últimas 3 décadas, en el territorio mexicano se han manifestado importantes transformaciones en la dinámica de los procesos migratorios. La presente relación busca describir la situación que padecen muchos jóvenes en su movilidad que se encuentran en estas ciudades fronterizas mexicanas. Una proximidad que nos permitirá comprender desde la perspectiva de estos lo que las estructuras mismas favorecen o bien obstaculizan sus aspiraciones a una mejora en la calidad de vida. Relaciones que a su vez han interpelado a la institución salesiana en México y busca con ello ofrecer elementos de intervención que impulsen y acompañen dichos anhelos. Los estados mexicanos de la frontera norte experimentan el fenómeno migratorio en 3 dimensiones. La primera, cuando alojan temporalmente a los migrantes en su paso a Estados Unidos. Al convertirse, en segundo lugar, en estados receptores de migrantes de entidades del sur, de la misma frontera o de aquellos que fracasaron en su intento de cruce a los Estados Unidos. Y por último, cuando sus residentes o nativos se incorporan a los flujos migratorios. Pero también se busca aquí mostrar cómo ese flujo de los estadounidenses a México fue configurando estas fronteras mexicanas. El cruce hacia o desde los Estados Unidos se realiza a través de 23 localidades, 8 de las cuales concentran 94% de los flujos que transitan en las dos ciudades. Estas localidades se pueden distinguir en 3 categorías. Ciudades fronterizas con mayor tradición, como son Tijuana, en Baja California Norte, Ciudad Juárez, en Chihuahua, y Matamoros, en Tamaulipas. También las ciudades fronterizas intermedias, como son Mexicali, Piedras Negras, Nuevo Laredo y Nogales. Y los nuevos espacios fronterizos, Altar, en Sonora, Ciudad Acuña, en Coahuila, Reynosa, en Tamaulipas. La distribución de estas ciudades a lo largo de los casi 3.200 kilómetros de frontera pueden a su vez agruparse en 3 regiones. La región oeste, destacando Tijuana y Mexicali. La región centro, destacando Altar, Sonora, Nogales, Sonora y Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua. Y la región este, con Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, Piedras Negras, Coahuila, Nuevo Laredo, Tamaulipas, Reynosa, Tamaulipas y Matamoros. Los salesianos de la provincia de México Norte tenemos presencia en 6 de estas entidades, 2 por cada región, siendo Tijuana y Mexicali en la región oeste, Nogales y Ciudad Juárez en la región centro y Ciudad Acuña y Piedras Negras en la región este. La presencia salesiana en la frontera norte abarca también las 3 categorías de ciudades fronterizas, Tijuana y Ciudad Juárez como ciudades fronterizas con mayor tradición, Mexicali, Nogales y Piedras Negras como entidades intermedias fronterizas y Ciudad Acuña como un nuevo espacio fronterizo. Esto significa que estamos donde realmente la situación lo amerita. ¿Cómo es ser joven en estas ciudades? En primer lugar, las juventudes son realidades escurridizas para quienes parten de criterios homogeneizantes, ahistóricos y esencialistas, independientemente de tiempos y contextos que signan las expresiones juveniles. La juventud es un concepto vacío que solo adquiere sentido en lugares datados, históricamente contextualizados y dentro de ámbitos relacionales. Para comprender los procesos socioculturales que involucran a las juventudes, se requiere identificar las condiciones objetivas donde se despliegan sus proyectos de vida, sus aspectos socioeconómicos, sus posiciones políticas, sus adscripciones culturales y sus repertorios identitarios. En este caso, la delimitación de juventudes en un espacio específico, las ciudades fronterizas de México, en un tiempo específico, un recrudecimiento de políticas migratorias e intensos debates al respecto en Estados Unidos, como de exacerbamiento del imaginario social y sus dramáticos episodios en relación a la violencia y los grupos llamados de las llamadas delincuencia organizada en territorio mexicano, así como el estigma endurecido hacia estas ciudades como tierra fértil para la proliferación de vicios y peligros, coloca pues a la juventud en una situación de vulnerabilidad y de alto riesgo, de pocas alternativas y de objetos. En este sentido, tres factores recaen sobre la juventud. Primero, la criminalización juvenil. Segundo, jóvenes mexicanos ante un proyecto nacional y civilizatorio excluyente y empobrecedor. Y tercero, ámbitos de miedo y violencia. Lo más delicado para muchos jóvenes expuestos en las ciudades fronterizas es la tentación de hacer todo por cualquier dinero, pues ante la falta de opciones se les puede subcontratar para cualquier cosa a cualquier costo, desde pintar o mover tales cosas hasta poder agredir a alguna otra persona por un costo un poco más elevado. Han existido episodios y elementos que han configurado la vida fronteriza. Cabe destacar sobre todo el moralismo intolerante y el prohibicionismo que se dio entre finales del siglo XIX y los inicios del siglo XX en estas entidades fronterizas de Estados Unidos, a través de movimientos propiciadores de estoicismo, temperancia moral y abstencionismo etílico. Las prohibicionistas asociaron el consumo del alcohol con degradación moral y descomposición social. Se recrudecieron las cruzadas contra su consumo y su reflejo fue en 1919 contra la producción y distribución de ese consumo. En estas ciudades se construyeron fábricas de licor desde las cuales se operaba muchas bebidas embriagantes, pero también se convirtieron en espacios de diversión por los visitantes provenientes de otras entidades. Se convirtieron, pues, en lugares de bares, de casinos, de prostíbulos, de fábricas de destilerías. Importantes ciudades fronterizas como Tijuana y Ciudad Juárez fueron estigmatizadas por las voces defensoras de una moral prohibicionista, y así crecieron las leyendas negras, leyendas que eran ciudades vistas como diversión y esparcimiento y de dinero fácil. Por otra parte, a partir de las guerras de la Segunda Guerra Mundial, de la Guerra de Corea y de la Guerra de Vietnam, comenzaron muchas migraciones hacia estas ciudades fronterizas por parte de jóvenes estadounidenses y también de muchos estados de la República que comenzaron a migrar a estas ciudades para trabajar y en búsqueda de dinero fácil. Tras estos espacios de la guerra, vino después el programa Bracero, en el que se permitió el ingreso a los Estados Unidos de mucha mano de obra barata. Y también esto generó el flujo de muchos a las ciudades fronterizas. Cuando se terminó el programa Bracero, comenzó un programa más, que fue el programa de las empresas maquiladoras. ¿Cómo fue esta praxis en la juventud fronteriza? Las emigraciones actuales hacia los centros más ricos del planeta están profundamente marcadas por un cuño étnico, cultural, simbólico y religioso. La estabilidad tradicional y las referencias comunitarias tradicionales van en retroceso. La sociedad y las instituciones religiosas se ven desafiadas a afrontar el cambio con respuestas innovadoras que ayuden a la gente que se desplaza a un nuevo contexto social y cultural. Me paso a la parte última en la que expreso un poco esas consecuencias de la ciudad fronteriza. para quien me ayuda con la traducción, paso a la parte que dice consecuencias de una configuración de ciudad fronteriza en los jóvenes. El modo en que se ha venido configurando la ciudad en la frontera, el caso de Ciudad Juárez, ha llevado un incremento poblacional que ha tenido diversas fases, como ya se ha expuesto, y que ha rebasado o no ha ido a la par de una planeación urbana administrativa que garantice las condiciones de vida necesarias para un desarrollo integral. La ciudad iba favoreciendo ciertas estructuras para que estos impulsos económicos se incrementaran, pero no atendió con el mismo ímpetu elementos que fortifiquen el tejido social de los nuevos asentamientos familiares. Con la falta de servicios para los encuentros ocasionales y de esparcimiento, ni para recreación o adquisición de habilidades artísticas y culturales, con carencias de facilidad de accesos a la educación u otros campos que no sea el ámbito laboral y el comercio restaurantero y de bares. Los grupos de jóvenes más favorecidos económicamente, que son los menos, acceden a estos espacios de educación, de arte y de esparcimiento en la ciudad de El Paso, Texas, pues cuentan con la posibilidad de la visa. Para el grande grueso juvenil, la ciudad sigue ofreciendo precariamente accesos y alternativas en esa línea. Por tanto, las condiciones de muchos de los jóvenes que se encuentran en la ciudad, por la situación que sea, están expuestos a una estrecha condición de sociabilidad, de educación formal escolarizada, de encontrar caminos alternativos no lícitos para un crecimiento económico. El fuerte de nuestro trabajo como salesianos en Ciudad Juárez es en aquel segmento de juventud de migrantes temporales. Este segmento de la sociedad ha dado lugar a una especulación acerca de su volumen. Casi la totalidad de las veces con fuentes de información con muy pocas bases metodológicas y conceptuales. La escasez de datos relativos a los migrantes temporales se debe, entre otras cosas, a la falta de fuentes de información fidedignas que al menos se acerquen con bases fundamentales a esta precisión. Esta marginación y este desplazamiento o minusvaloración también se observa del lado mexicano. El joven nacido en Ciudad Juárez desprecia al migrante que viene de Veracruz y le llama jarocho, una mezcla de jarocho, que es el llamado a aquel que es de Veracruz, y juarense, entonces se hace juarocho, como también desprecia al oaxaqueño o al de la sierra indígena de Chihuahua. El proyecto Frontera, concluyo aquí, que los salesianos de nuestra provincia se han trazado desde finales de los años 80 y que se ha concretizado en la presencia de las tres grandes regiones fronterizas, muestra que se ha buscado responder a estos grandes desafíos. Si bien no están todos concentrados en un tipo de apoyo al migrante tradicionalmente imaginario de las ciudades fronterizas, o sea, aquel que intenta cruzar a los Estados Unidos de forma ilegal, sino también a la propiciación de fortalecer el asociacionismo entre las diversas juventudes que por diversos motivos y de diversas densidades temporales de estadía pasan por estas ciudades. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much to Juan Carlos Quirarte, the Reverend, for his very, very interesting presentation that gives a very good picture about the complexities of migration, especially in this context of the United States and Mexico, and how important is the role of the Salesians in assisting, especially young people, in understanding the challenges and the difficulties that they face. So thank you very much. I'm sure that we will hear about this much more, and it is a very interesting piece for us. Now I would like to invite His Excellency Archbishop Francis Assisi Chulicat, who is the permanent observer of the Holy See, to the United Nations. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Ambassador Osorio. Your Eminence Oscar Andres Rodriguez Maradiaga, Ambassador Nestor Osorio, President of the ECOSOC, Ambassador Mary Flores, Permanent Representative of Honduras to the United Nations, Reverend Juan Carlos Quirarte, Director of Asociación de Desarrollo Juvenil del Norte in Ciudad de Juárez in Mexico, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. Today's gathering offers us a fresh opportunity to highlight once again the topic of migration, especially following the high-level dialogue on international migration and development held here at the United Nations last 3rd and 4th of October. As an introduction, I will share with you some thoughts on migration in general, leaving the specific treatment of the topic on youth and migration to His Eminence Cardinal Maradiaga. Representing, as it does, the interests of communities located in all parts of the globe, the Catholic Church shares a special solidarity with migrant populations, whether voluntary or forced, internal or international, permanent or seasonal, economic or political. Many of our people experience migration in its diverse forms. Both the Church and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights defend the right to migrate. Both migrants and the populations that receive them belong to a single human family, and both have a right to the goods of the earth, which are destined for universal enjoyment. Whereas sovereign states reserve the right to defend their frontiers and to regulate migration flows, they must, in doing so, guarantee the respect due to the dignity of migrants. Although the high human and social cost of migration militates against its sustainability as a long-term solution in practice, however, it must be recognized that migration often represents the lesser of two evils. Persecution, wars, and internal conflicts, acute poverty, unemployment, poor governance, and irrational agricultural policy and industrialization, endemic corruption, social inequality, and the unjust distribution of resources, these are the real underlying causes provoking migration in our times, and it is these development issues that cry out to be addressed in any serious endeavor to promote a balanced economic global order. Economic justification for immigration restrictions further complicates the life of these uprooted people. This raises a challenging question of how to respond to the staggering trauma of people attempting to escape from their countries across places as diverse as the Mediterranean Sea, the desert of Arizona, or transit countries like Egypt and the Sinai Peninsula. Speaking of such areas, the plight of migrants evokes that of the ancient biblical people who, fleeing slavery in Egypt with the dream of the promised land in their hearts, crossed the Red Sea, but instead of immediately reaching their desired destination, were obliged to face the trials and tribulations of the desert. Today, many migrants leave their country to escape humanly unacceptable living conditions, but do not find elsewhere the welcome for which they had hoped. Pope Benedict XVI asked this question, and I quote, "Why not consider contemporary phenomenon of migration as a favorable condition for understanding among peoples, for building peace, and for a development that concerns every nation?" He proposed seeing migration as an opportunity to emphasize the unity of the human family and the values of acceptance, hospitality, and love of neighbor. Because of the positive contribution the migrants make, especially to host countries and countries of their origin, migrants' presence should be welcomed and should not be discriminated, and least yet as criminals. They should not be looked down on as some reluctant means for protection or unwanted elements of the society, but first and foremost as human beings endowed with the same human dignity and with inalienable rights. This suggests that migration itself should be placed at the potential service of social and economic progress. We need a legal framework for migration which places human rights and fundamental freedoms at its core. An inclusive, equitable, and sustainable migration policy can be possible only when the human person is the central concern of migration policy making. It is the migrant's human dignity and worth that must be the premise standing at the very core of our recognition of migration as a positive factor for economic, social, and cultural development. For the Catholic Church, the reality of migration constitutes an eloquent sign of our times, further highlighting humanity's vocation and aspiration to form a single human family, even if, at the same time, it can also highlight those difficulties which often divide us when mismanaged. Rather than lose hope, let us embrace the opportunity the migrants offer in order to strive to be agents of fraternal relationships at the social, political, and institutional levels so that understanding and reciprocal esteem and development among peoples and cultures may increase and help us build together a future which we all wish to enjoy and can be proud of. As we are about to listen to the Cardinal's keynote address on youth and migration, we are all too well aware of movements of migration which involves millions of people. And here we are talking about 214 million people, 10% of whom are young people. As Pope Francis stated in his recent message on the World Day of Migrants and Refugees, and I quote, "More host countries around the world should welcome and respect immigrants and not treat them as pawns on the chessboard of humanity. They are children, men and women, young and old, who leave or who are forced to leave their homes for various reasons, who share a legitimate desire for knowing and having, but above all, for being more." Unquote. Your Eminence, we therefore look forward to your keynote address and thank you for being a blessing for all of us. In particular, we are grateful for the great work you do in defending the human rights around the world and for being a staunch defender of the rights of migrants. I thank you all for the attention.
Shulikat, for this very enlightening intervention that underlines very clearly the human aspect of migration and how human dignity should be put at the center of our analysis, not just the agent of development, but a bit more than that. It is now my pleasure to give the floor to our colleague, Ambassador Mary Flores, Permanent Representative of Honduras to the United Nations. You have the floor, Mary.
His Excellency Ambassador Néstor Osorio, President of the Economic and Social Chamber, ECOSOC, and Permanent Representative of Colombia to the United Nations. His Eminence Oscar Andrés Rodríguez Maradiaga, Cardenal de Honduras. His Excellency Archbishop Francis Chulicat, Permanent Observer of the Holy See to the United Nations. Reverend Juan Quirarte, Director of the Association Desarrollo Juvenil del Norte de México, Excellencies, distinguished delegates and guests. Allow me first to thank Ambassador Osorio for his kindness in facilitating the use of this venue and accepting to host this special joint event held by the missions of Honduras, Colombia, the Holy See, and the Salesians of Don Bosco. On behalf of the permanent mission of Honduras to the United Nations, it is a great honor and a personal joy to welcome back His Eminence, Cardenal Oscar Andrés Rodríguez, as he visits us for the second time here at the UN headquarters in New York to share with us his current, humane, inspirational views and insight on a complex and multidimensional issue. Eminence Rodríguez Maradiaga is a strong voice in the cause of youth empowerment, especially in developing countries and communities in need. As an influential figure of the Catholic Church and as president of Caritas Internacional, in his tireless work through the different channels, he has been an advocate for debt relief, which will unburden future generations to come and will provide new opportunities for them and their families. He has expressed numerous times the necessity to move forward to a just world order, which is based on solidarity, and called on world leaders as well as economic and financial systems to engage in commitments that will end poverty and help create worthy living conditions where young men and women can walk through life free of poverty, hunger, discrimination, and violence. A life filled with dignity, where they are protected in their fundamental human rights, with access to food, medical care, education, and with real opportunities to express themselves and develop their full potential, personalities, and aspirations. Cardinal Rodriguez is the coordinator of the Group of Eight, named by Pope Francis, who will advise him in the governing of the Universal Church and study a revision of the Apostolic Constitution, Pastor Bonas, on the Roman Curia. We wish him and the Catholic Church all the success on this endeavor. Today, we see with optimism that the topic of youth in the context of migration is increasingly gaining a much-deserved attention in the global agenda. As you know, youth migration was the focus of this year's observance of International Youth Day in the United Nations held last August. On this occasion, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon reminded us that poverty, economic hardship, persecution, crowded, unsanitary living conditions, and the challenges of finding decent employment are regular features of the migrant experience. He pointed out that many risks and struggles young migrants face in transit and their final destinations, bearing unimaginable dangers and abuse, a fact that is particularly true for young women. For many Latin American societies, including my own, the scenario featuring hundreds of adolescents and young adults heading north every day in search of better living standards, but with perilous circumstances, is a dramatic reality. In his message, Secretary General also emphasized the positive contribution young migrants make to societies of origin, transit, and destination, economically and by enriching the social and structure fabric. Migration has been a survival strategy throughout history. Our ancestors, the Maya, migrated and disappeared without leaving any trace. Climate change, war, drought, wars have been extreme situations which have contributed to this migration. In the last 50 years, migration dynamics and patterns have increased and accelerated in Central America because of the armed conflict in the 1970s and 80s. As well as poverty, lack of opportunity in the labor market, the devastation of natural disasters, and insecurity due to gang violence and organized crime. The region has served as a bridge not only in the sharing of culture and commerce through passage of individuals, goods, and services, but as the main route of all illegal activities, such as human and drug trafficking. Young people are especially susceptible and vulnerable. In order to escape their difficult and dangerous environment, many will cross the bridge and migrate north. Only working together in regional and global strategies can we secure their well-being and human security. The high-level dialogue on migration early this month was key in joining global efforts that can achieve recognition of the contribution of migrants in the economic, social, and environmental agenda and promote policy coherence and institutional development. The declaration adopted this month at the second high-level dialogue of international migration and development, the General Assembly recognized the particular vulnerabilities, circumstances, and needs of adolescents and young migrants, as well as their potential to build social, economic, and cultural bridges of cooperation and understanding across societies. Echoing hereby crucial language derived from the 46th session of the UN Commission on Population and Development, celebrated in April 2013, which focus on new trends on migration. The declaration acknowledges the important contribution of migration in realizing the Millennium Development Goals, the role of migrants as a key factor for sustainable development, and the post-15 development agenda. and overall their contribution as partners in development of countries of origin, transit, and destination, hence the need to recognize the roles and responsibilities of countries in promoting and protecting the human rights of all migrants. The latest mandates agreed upon the majority of the countries of the world, but most of all, in light of our collective social responsibility to protect our youth, and particularly young migrants in the sake of intergenerational solidarity. We are grateful in our meeting here today to share a valuable moment in reflection and enlightenment with His Eminence Cardinal Rodriguez. I am confident that his efforts, leadership, wisdom, and compassion can help bring all of us closer to our common goal of setting a more promising outcome for the youth of today and tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mary, for your presentation, and especially for showing how important it is from the institutional point of view in the United Nations to deal with this matter, and how migration has become one of the central pieces and will play a very important role in all the negotiations and all the approaches from the United Nations for the post-2015 agenda, given all the implications that have been so well described by the previous speakers, and that I'm sure that Cardinal Oscar Andrés Rodríguez will enhance with his presentation. It is my great privilege to ask Cardinal Rodríguez, who is, as you already know, Archbishop of Tegucigalpa, President of Caritas International, Chair of the Council of Cardinals. He is a doctor in philosophy, theology, moral theology, and has many, many honorary doctorates, as we know. So you all have a reference about his very interesting and important biography. So we are all ears to you, Eminence. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. A special greeting to you all from Honduras, country that is unfortunately producing a lot of young migrants, because we don't like to lose our young people. A special greeting to all the young people that I see today, members of the Salesian family. It's a great sign of hope to see young people, men and women, interested in helping their peers, migrants who suffered, and it's good that the young is interested in this matter. During the past year, the world community has been carefully examining the reality of migration, wrestling with complex issues and seeking to assist those who find themselves on the move so that they may truly be free from want and from fear. I want to acknowledge and commend the many United Nations agencies who led the way in assessing the progress made in the formulation of global migration policies, while also calling attention to issues still in need of further research. This work will assist in the development of people-centered policy at the national, regional, and global levels. Additionally, the mainstreaming of a human rights perspective into all aspects of the migration debate has been consistent and transformative in defining the parameters of the debate around migration. The roundtable series conducted by IOM in partnership with DESA and UNFP was an essential component in the work to ensure respect for and protection of the human rights of all migrants, especially women and children. Addressing the issues of the smuggling of migrants and trafficking in persons and confronting the migration business is a shame that migration became business, will help to ensure regular, orderly, and safe migration. The high-level dialogue on migration held here at the beginning of October, as we heard, showed the seriousness with which the world community must address migration. The wide range of participants in the dialogue, including states, intergovernmental organizations, UN agencies, and civil society organizations, highlighted that migration is a multi-stakeholder phenomenon that must be addressed on every level in all of its dimensions. Given that one in eight migrants is aged between 15 and 24 years, and that 35 million international migrants are below the age of 20, it is encouraging to see that the Division for Social Policy and Development of the Department of Economic and Social Affairs prepared its 2013 World Youth Report on Youth Migration and Development. The vulnerabilities of young migrants, as well as their contributions to the life and economics of receiving and sending communities, needs further research and attention. The ILO report on reaping the benefits and minimizing the risks of youth labor migration, released in August, is an important study that will be instrumental in the formulation of policies and protections for youth. It is made clear that much of youth migration is fueled by economic concerns, and we need to protect them from exploitation. The work at the Global Forum on Migration and Development over the past few years has helped focus the attention on the world community on the complexity of the migration issues, and I encourage a strong emphasis on protecting the most vulnerable populations, especially women, youth, and children. I also applaud the 2013 World Migrations Report prepared by the IOM, which examined migrant well-being and development. This focus on the human dimensions of migration and its impact on the lives of migrants and their families must continue to guide the formulation of policies and laws. As you all know, migration has been and continues to be a major concern of the Catholic Church and other faith traditions. In his first trip after his election, Pope Francis went to Lampedusa, a port of entry for so many desperate migrants. Even many die on their way there, including many women and children. All of us were pained by the tragic loss of life of over 300 African migrants, refugees, as their boat sank on the same day as the world community began the high-level dialogue on migration here at the UN just a few weeks ago. This tragedy highlighted the need for comprehensive and global attention to the right to migration that is too often fraught with struggles. Our sorrow over this loss must move us to act on ensuring the protection of migrants throughout the migration process. During his visit to Lampedusa, Pope Francis reminded us all that in this world of globalization, we have fallen into a globalization of indifference. How sad, but it's true. We are accustomed to the suffering of others and come to believe that it doesn't concern us. We can feel that it is none of our business, but it is. Our shared humanity demands a response. Pope Francis implored host societies to ensure that the arrival of migrants does not cause new and even heavier forms of slavery and humiliation. Too many migrants, he noted, passed through the hands of traffickers, those who exploit the poverty of others. these people for whom the poverty of others is a source of income. Religious leaders and faith-based organizations have a key role in making sure those refugees are treated with dignity and compassion. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees acknowledged this and brought together a wide spectrum of faith-based organizations and church leaders this past year. A declaration welcoming the stranger, Affirmations for Faith Leaders, will be officially launched in November, and I am pleased that I was one of those who prepared the declaration. It aims to promote community understanding and tolerance and to combat xenophobia. People of goodwill must promote hospitality. In fact, a culture of acceptance needs to be fostered. The first affirmation of the declaration makes is, a core value of my faith is to welcome the stranger, the refugee, the internally displaced, the other. I shall treat him or her as I would like to be treated. I will challenge others, even leaders in my faith community, to do the same. We need to have all people of goodwill take this value of welcoming, being hospitable, to heart. Today, I would like to speak of one of the many faith-based communities who does just that. My community, the Salesians of Don Bosco. They address migration in its many forms in many nations with a special emphasis on youth and their families. We just heard the beautiful thoughts of Father Juan Carlos. Present in 132 countries throughout the world, the Salesians of Don Bosco are the second largest Catholic order of religious men in the world. Since their founding in the mid of the 19th century, they have demonstrated a continued commitment to ministry with migrants and challenged their members to show special care and concern for migrants, displaced persons, refugees, and victims of trafficking. In fact, Salesian work was first organized around migrant youth as they assisted young farmers go into the city in search of work to support their families. St. John Bosco, the founder of the Salesians, had the experience of having to leave home as a youngster. He was taken in by a family and provided with work to help him support himself so that he could live peacefully and develop his talents without interference. After founding a religious order that cared for marginalized youth, he sent his first missionaries from Torino, Italy, to Buenos Aires, Argentina, to work with the Italian migrants there. Also happened here in the United States. In each of Don Bosco's endeavors, youth was his special focus. Don Bosco was sensitive to the processes of transformation and modernization of the society of his time. We must not forget that he was at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution in Torino. He understood that he could not be a mere spectator to the world, but that he had to be fully engaged in the wanted to ensure opportunities, choices, and social inclusion for migrant youth, making the most of the resources and capacity of each person for the good of society. The response he provided for the early young migrants is the one that Salesians of today continue to provide: a safe place to live, proving shelter, food, and a sense of family, skills training to prepare the youth for the world of work and to avoid crime, opportunities for the recreation and developing artistic skills, religious and spiritual formation. The early formulation of this idea was, we reach out to them to provide for them a home, a school, a parish, and a place where the young can meet and share as friends. Don Bosco sought of young migrants to help them because good citizens and morally upright people who would contribute to the growth of their communities. Though he had a spiritual objective, he accomplished this through his educational method, the preventive system, a stress on social awareness, the promotion of leadership, and thoughtful cultural adaptations in diverse situations. He also placed a strong emphasis on activities that were to integrate young migrants with the host country's native-born populations, collaborating with local efforts to achieve this goal. One such program, of course, we heard the beautiful things in Mexico border, but also around the world. One of the programs is conducted by the Salesians in Helenenberg, Germany. The civil authorities in the Rheinland-Pfalz region became convinced that it would be better for young unaccompanied migrants to move out of their clandestine situation, gain basic social skills, and be helped to make informed choices to secure a better future. It was understood that if young migrants were assisted in fitting into German society in a responsible way, rather than criminalizing them, everyone would benefit from this. The Salesians became partners with the civil authorities to accomplish this goal. After being received in the reception center at Trier, the youngsters are given room and board for some for as long as 3 years. Classes are offered to help them learn or improve their German language. Guidance from teachers and welfare personnel helps them decide to explore their possibilities and ways of remaining in Germany or returning to their own country. While in Helenenberg, they attend a trade skills course, begin to gain work experience, learn how to manage their finances, also that, even if administrating only a few euros, and be part of German society in a dignified way. This multidimensional response to the needs of the young is as essential now as it was in response to the societal transformations of the Industrial Revolution. Attending to all the needs of young migrants empowers them to use their gifts and talents in a constructive manner, allowing them to be protagonists in building a better future for themselves and others. Appropriate accompaniment by adults helps facilitate the complete development of the young. The involvement of youth advocating for other youth around issues of migration is an important element in promoting social integration. That is why I am very happy to see a lot of young here that will do the same, trying to advocate for other youngsters here in the United States. Don Bosco understood, and Salesians today understand, that the development of the full person and seeking to change systems that exclude or marginalize the young migrant and those living in poverty need to be at the forefront of ministry and work with and for the young. An emphasis on the human rights of young migrants helps to achieve this goal. And the first step in ensuring that the rights are protected is to educate the young about their rights. Knowing this, a strong emphasis has been placed on human rights education in Salesian works among migrants, often with youngsters who have become street children. This focus was formalized in a World Congress on the Preventive System and Human Rights held at the Salesian Generalate in Rome, January 2009. In 2013, 24 youth delegates representing 13 Salesian organizations from 14 nations met to formulate a plan of action to ensure that the Don Bosco Youth Network carried out its work with an orientation towards human rights education. Numerous programs of human rights education are conducted through India, for instance, educating youth about their rights and facilitating access to services has bettered the life of many migrant and marginalized youth. Salesians seek to raise awareness about the positive contribution made by young immigrants. Positive contribution. Migrants are not only a burden or a threat to places of work. They provide positive contributions, as well as the many risks and dangers that children face, whether their migration is caused by war, poverty, persecution, or unjust migration policies. The criminalization of migration, the detention of young migrants, and the separation of young migrants from their families all need to be addressed. Father Pascual Chavez, Director Major of the Salesians, when speaking of young migrants, reminded the members of the Salesian family that we should see migrants not so much as a problem, but a resource, and not just an economic resource, but a human resource. Youth migration has challenged all of us to re-examine how we approach migration. Giving them access to social services, including health care and education, is imperative, is not optional. Because of the diversity in the young migrant communities, it is essential to be aware and equipped for proper implementation of the educational mission in a multicultural society today. Intercultural education in multicultural societies demands that we recognize and value diversity as a resource that can contribute to the good of all in all aspects of social life. A Salesian in Italy, Reverend Vito Orlando, published a comprehensive report on the work of Salesians with migrants in Europe in 2012. Attenzione ai migranti e missione salesiana nella società multiculturale d'Europa. This work addresses the need for intercultural and intergenerational education. The intercultural education that youth migration necessitates begins with the recognition of the human dignity of all. This is the basic principle of the social doctrine of the church. The human dignity of all. Due to this, we, the Salesians, have formulated an educational model in the light of universal principles of human rights that is capable of safeguarding rights and prevent discrimination. To build the Between cultures, special care must be taken to develop two abilities, the relational and the communicative. Educators must work to develop interpersonal skills that allow people to understand diversity and to define and redefine spaces of coexistence and cooperation. Today, young migrants have routinely asked receiving communities for hospitality, education, and vocational guidance. To do this, the Salesians have opened both formal and informal educational centers with many focus and training youngsters for the world of work. For example, Don Bosco Higher Secondary School, Thanjavur, India. In June, 354 students graduated from their skill training course in the Sri Lankan Tamil Refugee Rehabilitation Program conducted there. The Salesians, with assistance from funding from the USA, have been preparing Sri Lankan Tamil refugees with professional skills in a variety of areas for the world of work for the past 3 years. Conflicts and natural disasters have caused a sharp rise in the number of refugees, many of them children who need assistance. In the refugee camp of Kakuma in Kenya, by the end of May of this year, about 120,000 people were living in that camp, making it one of the largest in the world. The Salesians have been working there for years and have provided education to more than 66,000 young internees. Since the beginning of the conflict in Syria, the Salesians in Lebanon have been helping Syrian refugees fleeing the conflict. They provide educational, recreational, and spiritual opportunities to the displaced youth, helping to provide some tranquility and growth in the midst of so much destruction. Additionally, young migrants have been an effective point of entry into migrant families, allowing the Salesians to assist families in their efforts in social integration and defending their human rights. I quote the book of Father Orlando. "We have found that the sons and daughters of migrants, because they are regularly engaged in the negotiation of meanings, practices, and ways of life in and outside the family, through their participation in a variety of social groups, have assisted their family in achieving social integration. Migrant children have often become teachers and mediators, helping in the integration of their families." With this in mind, the Salesians have begun to enhance their work with centers for the social integration of migrants, especially in Europe. The challenge is to find the most effective strategies to help young immigrants to overcome marginalization and insecurity, that they encounter and train them to be the protagonists of the new social reality they face, becoming architects of a new humanity. To accomplish this, the Salesians work to have young migrants involved in the planning, implementation, and assessment of activities initiated for their benefit. Additionally, young people from the welcoming community are asked to participate in program design, implementation, and assessment, especially in creating opportunities for the young to share their cultures with each other. As local young people have seen an increase of activities on behalf of young migrants, more have become involved in volunteering. And I want to emphasize this. Volunteer work is a source of providing the young generations a new horizon of humanity, of love, a new horizon of hope. Volunteering to participate in the multicultural events and in educating their peers and adults about the benefits of migrant members in the community. The inclusion of young people with other young people is a hallmark of Salesian activity and ministry and leads to greater acceptance of diversity and mutual esteem. Mutual esteem. A migrant fellow is not an enemy. It's your brother, it's your sister. And we need to grow in this mutual esteem. The realities of everyday life are not indifferent to quality of life. And if we really want the best social life, major efforts must be made to help lead people to a maturation of right attitudes, especially in reference to diversity and difference. In today's world, migrants and local residents are called to form an integrated world that enhances the lives of all. If we manage to overcome distrust, fear, and rejection by promoting a culture of welcome and make it permeate our shared reality, our shared world becomes more human and humanizing. The involvement of youth, advocating for other youth around issues of migration, is an important element in promoting social integration. More than 1 billion people rely on international and domestic migration to improve the income, health, and education of their families, escape poverty and conflict, and adapt to environmental and economic shocks. 1 in 7 people are presently migrants. 1 in 7 people are presently migrants. Many, 1 in 8 of the international migrants are under the age of 25, often victims of violence, abuse, poverty, human and drug traffickers, or seeking to reunite with family members who have already migrated. Countries receiving migrants can benefit significantly from the real and potential contribution of all migrants, including the youngest migrants. But many barriers limit the positive effects of migration. Widespread discrimination and the denial of the human rights of migrants at different points in the migration process need to be addressed so that all interested parties will benefit. His Excellency Chulicat was quoting the message of Pope Francis to the World Day of Migrants and Refugees, which will be celebrated on the 19th of January next year. The title of the message is Migrants and Refugees Towards a Better World. And it's beautiful, the approach. We don't see migrants and refugees towards a solution of economic problems. It's towards a better world. And I also will quote this beautiful message that I recommend. I hope that all of you will read it, not to leave it behind. I quote, "In spite of difficulties and dramatic situations, migration is an invitation to imagine a different future." How beautiful. How beautiful. Migration as an invitation to imagine a different future in which we glimpse the creation of a better world. It is an invitation aimed at the development of all humanity, including each person with his or her own spiritual and cultural potential. If we accept that culture is an entirety of spiritual, existential, and intellectual aspects that distinguish a society, including also ways of life, fundamental rights, value systems, traditions, and beliefs, then it will be possible to confirm that the whole of human existence is permeated by attitudes of encounter and welcome and continue. A change of attitude towards migrants and refugees is needed on the part of everyone, moving away from attitudes of defensiveness and fear, indifference and marginalization, all typical of a throwaway culture, towards attitudes based on a culture of encounter, the only culture capable of building a better, more just and fraternal world. We are called to enact strategies of the possible that will empower young people to be the change that they desire in their communities. Will we overcome our indifference? I hope so. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Cardinal, for this, you will agree with me, inspirational appeal about how to conceive migration, how to see the realities of this phenomenon. And indeed, everything you have said to us is an invitation to reshape our conception about a movement that is reshaping the world, creating new needs of approach and new needs of understanding, with something that you recall us in a very special way, not only taken from the Catholic faith, but from whatever approach to the relationship of humans, which is the human dignity of all. That really impressed me very much, Cardinal, and I am sure that that impressed all of you. Reverend, I think we have some extra minutes. And if any of you, I would like always these sessions to be a bit of interactive. Of course, all of us would like to reflect and to think about what we have just heard, but I invite you to contribute as well. And if you want to take the opportunity of having Cardinal here to ask a question, to ask for guidance, please do not hesitate to do so. The floor is open. You just press the button, that's okay. It will appear red. You are in number. Okay, now you can speak.
Hi, my name is Fabio Palacio. I'm with the International Movement ATD Fourth World. I would like to thank all the panelists for your great comments, especially His Excellency Cardinal Oscar Andres Rodriguez, for bringing up two key points that I thought were very important. One of them was dignity, as you mentioned, Ambassador Osorio. You mentioned the importance of interrelational and communitive aspects as strategies to maintain dignity and to really cultivate it, and I thought that was very important. And you said something that I thought was very related to that, which was including the people who are the targets of interventions, social interventions, in the planning, implementation, and evaluation of those programs. I think those were two excellent points, and I would like to turn everybody's attention to the UN Guiding Principles on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights, which are a great tool for applying these exact points that you mentioned. And so I just wanted to thank you and mention that.
Thank you very much. Any other comment? Please just press the button. You will see the green light appearing, and then you will take the floor. Press the button, madam, please. Over there. Right. You are in number 1121 for the technicians.
You
can speak.
Thank you very much for
now.
This very interesting conversation. I chair the NGO Committee on Migration here. And I only wanted to make two points in relation to what has been said. You since so many people talked about the events of the high-level dialogue. I hope that you are all familiar with the 8.5-year proposal for action on the part of over 100 civil society organizations worldwide who met here. And one of these points deals particularly with the topic dealt here today, which is young migrants at the border, however, not only young migrants, and our plea from the floor of the Second Human Rights Committee on Human Rights at the high-level dialogue to please focus on migrants in crisis and specifically transit situations, especially young people and women who are raped, smuggled, and so forth. I would just hope that from walking the walk, from talking the talk, we go to walking the walk, and that there will be action from now on with young people in the forefront to accomplish this before another high-level dialogue takes place. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam, for your very valuable comment. I will give the floor on my right. You are on number 37. There you are.
Yes. Thank you all so very much. Congratulations, and thank you to the entire panel. This is such an important and becoming visible issue in the world. My name is Carrie Sackett. I'm the executive director of Boys and Girls Towns of Italy. We run a program for migrant and refugee youth who live on the streets in Italy. Obviously, we've been taking in many of the young people who have arrived through Lampedusa in these last years. I really was appreciating what you were saying, Cardinal, around the issue of the development of our young people. I think oftentimes, particularly with all youth, learning and development gets mushed together as one thing. One of the things we do at Boys and Girls Towns of Italy is we have self-government, and our young people run their own towns. They elect each other, mayor, judge, commissioner. They take responsibility for running their community, and that's how they grow and develop. And it's built a very rich community around that with adults and members of the surrounding neighborhoods. So the thing I was thinking about in particular is the activity of supporting young people's development and their capacity to create their lives rather than to become passive victims of the horrible, horrible circumstances that they've lived through. So I really commend your work. I look forward to getting to know some of your programs in Europe, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your comments and the illustration about how children are managing to become agents of society. Please, up there. Yes, please, sir. You are in number 1170.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. My name is Eric Kashambuzi. I come from Uganda. Uganda is in the Great Lakes region of Africa, where there has been extreme suffering of the people in that area, particularly women, youth, and children. We have had genocide in that area, in Rwanda, in DRC, and many other places. This is a tragic development. And as a student of human rights, I believe that we have not paid sufficient attention to the suffering in the Great Lakes region. Talk has been going on in the Security Council, in the General Assembly, in ECOSOC, but I do not think we have done enough. The suffering is increasing largely for political reasons. I'm appealing to the people in this room to pay special attention, especially to the Cardinal. And I would like to send a message to the Pope Francis, through the Cardinal, to let him know that the people in the Great Lakes region of Africa have suffered more than enough. And I would appeal to all of you, wherever you are, be the ambassadors of the people in the Great Lakes region of Africa and end the suffering in that region. We are working very hard, but on our own, we shall not succeed. I'm calling on the international community to do all that you can to end the suffering in that region. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your appeal that you may be reassured that will be taken into consideration very seriously. I myself sat for 2 years in the Security Council, and I was a witness of this suffering you are talking about. I visited some of the countries in conflict, and it is very clear that the conditions in which many people, as you refer, live are really appalling. So this is a responsibility of the international community and a matter that, let me say, after this session, we see that there are communities and there are people at the Salesians that are working very hard to contribute to solve these difficult circumstances and injustices. Anyone else who would like to intervene? Yes, on top of the row over there. Wait for the... Now you can talk.
Yeah, oh, excuse me. My name is Randy Maldonado, and I am a graduate student at the School of Social Service at Fordham University and a current intern for International Federation of Settlement Houses. I am of Honduran descent myself, and this topic particularly brings, I guess, a personal substance to me. And I would just like for the Cardinal Rodriguez just to elaborate on, I know you mentioned before regarding the... maintenance of youth into the country instead of embarking in these kind of treacherous journeys of migration into, you know, other states. And so maybe elaborate on what is being done to keep youth from going through these movements across these states that put them in such situations.
Thank you very much, Cardinal. You will have the last word.
Thank you very much, and thank you, and greetings to my Honduran paisano. Well, you know, not only in Latin America to the United States, but Northern Africa to Europe, and Asia to Europe as well. The big problem that causes migration, of course, is war, is crime, is lack of security, but also economy. When there are no sources of work, people need to survive. This is what we saw in the 19th century when there were famine in Ireland, for instance, and they migrated to the United States. When there was famine in Italy, in other nations of Europe, migration to Latin America, Spain to Venezuela, Italy to Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, etc. Migration from Japan to Peru or to Brazil. This has been the history of migration in the world. But nowadays, in our times, one of the problems is the lack of development. So it's necessary to increase, and I am happy to talk here in the United Nations because Millennium Goals are approaching to the end in 2015, and I am afraid that many of the goals will not be achieved. And especially development is the medicine to migration. When there is peace, justice, and development, people do not need to migrate. Everyone would like to live and die in the nation where they were born. But if it's necessary to migrate, it's because there are problems that had not been solved. For me, the greatest problem nowadays is how to create development in those regions. For instance, in Africa as well.
We got one of the presidents of Caritas Africa is a bishop from Uganda, Bishop Kizito Luanga, and he did a very good job as president. He ended his term already, but of course, there is a big concern all around the world. It's necessary to work more for development. When we would have sources of work in our countries, especially in Central America, we wouldn't have too many migrants or undocumented migrants.
Thank you very much, Cardinal, for these additional reflections. As you are very, very grateful for having and privileged for having you here in the company of such a very select group. My congratulations to you, to the Salesians for the work that they are doing. And I'm really pleased that ECOSOC could serve as one of the agents where these messages could be transmitted and where people can reflect about duties and moral responsibility. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.